A very common phrase, it occurs in the Creed and it occurs in Paul's statement, is that the resurrection took place on the third day. Now, we would like to know why the Christians thought it occurred on the third day. Since they don't describe the event itself, a little hard to see. Just say they gave the date, but they don't give the thing. That's a little leaves a little bit hanging, doesn't it? Is this something they inferred? How could they infer it? Any suggestions? What can you infer? If you don't know that he rose on the third day, how do you infer that he rose on the third day?
They saw him walking around on the third day.
Saw him walking around the third day, but they might have ridden on the second day. You might have missed him. Yeah, but that'd be enough. Many people would jump to that conclusion. I mean, here's somebody who's gone away from Pendle Hill. Here they are again, 3 days since you last saw them. Well, they presumably have come back today. Haven't seen them before, have you? Not since they went. Another suggestion?
Oh, that was the thing to do. If he was going to come back at all, he'd come back in 3 days, since that was the general belief.
Yeah, so if you had this theory that the fourth day would be too late. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be any revival, do you expect it then? I'm sure there are medical situations where the doctors pretty well know. I don't know about death, but about other physiological forms.
Oh, it's true in death.
Pretty well know about when. And you say, you talk to somebody, oh, the doctor says the crisis is past, hasn't he? Whether it's measles or whether it's something else. They pretty well know. All right, that would soon be enough. Anything else?
Did Jesus not say that he will demolish the building and raise it in 3 days?
Yes, he did. He's reported as saying.
So they inferred from that.
And the early Christians, some of them thought that what he meant was not that temple in Jerusalem, but his body, this temple.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll destroy this, or it'll be destroyed, and it'll be raised the third day.
He also made reference to Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale.
Yes.
3 days.
But he wasn't 3 days and three nights in the whale, so to speak.
And Jonah had been raised in 3 days. Using raised in a little different sense. Yes, all right. Yes?
The number three in all of life has been a magic number.
Yes. Even gold is divided into three parts. Yes? Well, you simply say that they in order to make it more specific, they hit upon an appropriate small and familiar number. Doesn't sound too good, does it?
Embarrassing.
Do you know what Paul says? He said he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. I'm not quite sure whether Paul is saying that the scripture said he would be raised, or that it would be on the third day, or whether the scripture said he will be both raised and it will be on the third day. You see, you can take the third day with either one part or the other part or both parts together. Well, let's take it with raised. The third day, take the scripture on the third day. The resurrection of Jesus took place, and it took place on the day that the scripture had identified. Then our problem will be to find the scriptures, and that'll be quite a problem. Though, if they thought so, we'll let it go, won't we? If they thought so, if they had books that are not in our Bible, or if they read certain passages, passage which says, I will return in 2 days, and on the third day I will raise it. Passage in Hosea. It may seem to us far-fetched, but if that's all, that's what they thought, well and good. Enough for them. They saw things in the scriptures that are not obvious to us. They understand the scriptures that way. Yes? When Jesus says, I go my way today and tomorrow, and the third day I'm perfected, doesn't third day mean there and elsewhere in other parts of the Bible, soon? Could it be that the view was that he came back soon, and that it was expressed in this way, and then some people took it literally? I think that's all means in the Hosea passage. 2 days? No, on the third day. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that there is a problem there. That from some source or other, it became widely believed by the time of Paul that the resurrection, undescribed though it is, but as assured as it is to the early Christians, had occurred on the third day after death. And if you ever read after 3 days, don't let that bother you, because those two are fairly interchangeable. Here's where you don't want to go into the chronology of hours too specifically, because the third day or after 3 days are really variant ways of saying the same thing. Well, now, there's another question that you can't help but ask. If he appeared, I mentioned this last time, where were those he appeared to? Geographically, where? They're quite clear to say that he appeared to X, Y, Z, and so on. If somebody comes back unexpectedly to Pendle Hill and you say you've seen him, you say, well, where was he? Well, he was either in Furbank or at the main house or somewhere else, wasn't he? Indeed, one person might have seen him here when he came back, and one might have seen him over here. So that it isn't important that they should all agree on the geographical place. As a matter of fact, they don't agree, do they? Now, aren't the gospel appearances divided? Some in Galilee and some in Judea. Hardly on the same day, though, to the same people, isn't that right? That's a little difficult without the help of a car. It would have to be pretty early or pretty late, wouldn't it? I suppose there were people that pretty nearly made it between midnight and midnight. But if Galilee is really up there, far away. There's some people have been so bothered by this problem that they've said there must have been another place named Galilee near Jerusalem. I don't think so. I think that just some of the stories connected with Galilee and some connected led with Jerusalem. I don't believe we need worry much about that. Well, then there's although people have worried a great deal, more than I think they need. Many scholars for many generations have said, we've got to choose one or the other. And if you're going to choose, would you choose Mark, which says Galilee, or Luke, which says Judea? Especially if they're disciples, the same disciples, like Peter, and on the third day. Peter could have been in Galilee on the third day and in Jerusalem some weeks later. I used to be much worried about that. I've rather given it up about where it was. Because there are more other things that seem to me even more problematical. And now we got another question. What does Jesus do in the 3-day interval, or whatever days it is? Not only where he was, but what does he do, if anything? Well, the simplest thing would be to say we don't know, wouldn't it? Where wast thou, Lazarus, those 4 days? There is no answer of reply. Can't quote the rest of it. The author goes on to say, if we did know, it would only add praise to praise, so why worry? A nice, pious, agnostic comment. We don't know, and if we didn't know, it'd be all the better, and therefore let it go. Did the early Christians abandon reflection on what he did those 4 days? Any of you know the creed? He descended to hell, didn't he? But even the creed doesn't say what he did there. And you understand hell is the place of the departed spirits. Another, perhaps not the best known, your best known book in the New Testament is 1 Peter. And chapter 3:18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. There we are with flesh and spirit in another context. In which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were saved through water. That's the ark. Noah and his wife, 3 sons and their wives, making a total of 8. And while they were being saved in the ark, there were certain people that were disobedient. You read about them, didn't you? Especially if you ever read Green Pastures or something like that. I heard quite a lot about the people that didn't believe, and said to Noah, what are you building that boat for? They were skeptics. Well, they were drowned, weren't they? The disobedient. In the days that the ark was building, they were disobedient. And now when Christ died, what did he do? He preached to those disobedient spirits in prison. I suppose among the dead. The medieval church thought a good deal about this very brief but interesting interval. This is not the only view. This is perhaps the earliest view. I think this same book comes back to it in verse 6, the next chapter. This is why the gospel was preached even to the dead. For though judged in the flesh like men, they might live in the spirit like God. Now these are literally dead. These aren't like the ordinary minister that thinks he's preaching the dead, people that are dead asleep or otherwise dead. But these are really the literally dead. And Jesus preached the gospel to them. There's certain justice in that. A great many people have worried why bad people or even good people before the coming of Jesus should never hear the gospel. Die without ever having heard. It's tragic if it's so essential to hear and believe the gospel. Although, as I once read, it's a great deal safer not to preach to people, because if you don't preach to them, they're not so guilty as if they hear it and don't heed it. But suppose they've never even had a chance to hear it. Isn't it just that Christ should have given a chance? I'm sure it satisfied some people's views of what would be just and fair. We are opposed to discrimination of all sorts, aren't we? Why discriminate against people that died prior to the ministry of Jesus? Well, there is no discrimination. They've had their chance too. This was the golden opportunity that Jesus had to tell them the gospel among the dead.